Gently close your eyes. Really relax in your seat, if you're on a cushion or a chair. You want to stay awake and be very attentive, but you really want to have your body comfortable, at ease. Feel your spine just lifting up, supporting you. If you need to move to find a position that isn't painful, don't feel afraid to shift, to move. Try to stay still and quiet when you've found that position, but don't be afraid to move if you need to. The breath is the focus of our attention. So begin with two or three really deep breaths in and out. Just be aware of finding your presence in the moment. When you shift to that natural, normal breath, you want to feel that you're in the moment. Let go of your racing thoughts. We can't stop our thoughts, but we don't have to pay so much attention to them. We can just allow them to come and go. Our thoughts are not who we are. Keep all of your sense doors open. Other than your eyes, we have contact, taste, smell, hearing, and the mind. We begin with loving kindness. And this is basic to our practice, all forms of love. We begin by feeling love for ourselves. Kindness, loving kindness can mean friendliness. Loving kindness is also translated as not hating. So we feel these good, kind feelings towards ourselves. And as we develop that, we really want to be able to send out good wishes for others to have the same experience. But we always begin with ourselves. Developing that quality of love for ourselves. May I be well. May I be healthy, both mentally and physically. May I feel safe. May I be contented with times of joy and happiness. and may I be at peace. Peace coming from within. Now we can extend this quality of loving kindness out beyond ourselves, like sending out wishes or blessings. Think of your family members, the people closest to you, your dear friends, your family members. And send out the same wishes. May my family members be well, both physically and mentally. May they feel safe. May they have times of happiness and joy. And may they live in peace. Now we can step out further and send this quality of loving kindness, of metta, out to everyone we know, everyone we're in contact with or have been in contact with, from friends to acquaintances, to neighbors, people you pass every day. Send out the same good wishes of metta. May all of these people I have contact with be well. In body and in mind. May all of them feel safe in this world. May they all find contentment in their lives with periods of great happiness and joy. And may they live in peace within themselves and in the world. Now there may be difficult people in your life as well. You may have resistance to sending goodwill. But if there's a lot of difficulty or seems to be even hatred, just use the one translation of metta that means non-hatred. And send out this quality to take the hardest part sending out good wishes, goodwill to everyone. You may need to begin with non-hatred. May my difficult people be well in mind and body. May they feel safe in this world. May they find contentment in times of happiness and joy. And may they live with peace within and without. And let there be peace. Now just let this quality of metta radiate out from you in all directions. It has an infinite range. May all beings everywhere be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Free from fear and anger. May all beings be able to care for themselves or be cared for lovingly. And may all beings, human and non-human, beings being born and those dying, may all these sentient beings no peace. Now we'll just move into mindfulness practice. So be aware of yourself in your spot where you're seated. And just follow your breath. Letting your body relax. And just be an observer of yourself responding to everything in your environment. So when we're being truly mindful, we are watching our reactions to things that arise before us. Be aware of sounds. Of smell. Taste. Be aware of the contact your body is making. Your feet on the floor, your seat in your chair or your cushion. And notice if the temperature of the air feels colder than normal, or maybe it's warm for you. Just be aware. And be aware of your thoughts. They aren't going to stop. But we don't have to get caught up in our thoughts. We don't have to feed them with our attention. Just let them come and let them go. Stay awake and attentive. You can investigate your reactions that you're seeing in yourself just by looking at them. See if you can walk around that emotion that arises and just look at it more closely without getting caught up in your thoughts. See if you can be more aware of it, what's going on. If you feel drowsy, just see what that feeling of drowsiness, what it is, how it manifests. As we come to an end to the practice, we can set an intention. May everything we do and say and think today be done not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of all sentient beings throughout the universe. Thank you. Join us for the chanting, and we begin on page 4. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasse. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhammam saranam gacchami. Sangham sangham gacchami. Dutiyampi buddham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi sangham saranam gacchami.
Satyapi Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Satyapi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami. Satyapi Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Anicca Vata Sankhara Upadavaya Domino Upajitva Nirujanti Tesam Upasamo Sugo Sate Satta Avera Hontu Sabe Satta Avyaja Hontu Sabe Satta Aniga Hontu Sabe Satta Sukhiyatanam Pariharantu Mano Kupangema Dama Mano Seta Mano Maya Manasache Padutena Asatiwa Karotiwa Tato Nam Dukkha Manveti Chakang Vevaha Dopadam Mano Kupang Gemadama Mano Seta Mano Maya Manasache Pasannena Asati va karoti va Tato nam sukha manveti Chaya va anapayimi.
Mind is the forerunner of all states. Mind is chief. Mind made are they. If with a corrupted mind one should either speak or act, suffering follows caused by that, as does the wheel follow the ox's hoof. Mind is a forerunner of all states.
Mind is chief.
Mind made are they. If with a clear and confident mind one should either speak or act, happiness follows caused by that, as one shadow that never leaves. We believe in generosity toward others. We believe the skillful, noble path is marked by generosity. We believe generosity has many levels. Think generously, speak generously, act generously. We believe generosity is the heart of our spiritual practice, and this practice allows us to become more open, accepting, and forgiving. We believe extending generosity to ourselves and others is a direct way of healing ourselves,
bringing joy and nurturing the spiritual community
for years to come. May I become at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection, a guide for those who have lost their way, a ship for those with an ocean to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those without light, a place of refuge for those without shelter, and a servant to all in need. By means of this meritorious deed, may I never join with the unwise, only the wise, till the time I attain Nibbana. Thank you. I am going to talk today about a topic that has been rolling around for a while. We had a workshop last Sunday afternoon, and the topic was the four Brahma Viharas. And so I wanted to talk a little bit more, or give you maybe a little bit less about the four Brahma Viharas. These are qualities, and I'll tell you what Brahma Vihara means. They're four immeasurable qualities that we all have the seed of within us. We all have the possibility of developing these qualities. And they're difficult qualities to develop. You might be able to develop them for short times sometimes, or right about the time you think you've got something mastered, how you'll run into a situation that teaches you that you haven't mastered it. And these qualities, it's very common for that to happen. The Brahma Vihara, the word is broken in Pali into two. It's two words. Brahma was the chief god in the at the time of the Buddha, and mostly before the Buddha. The chief god of lots of gods was Brahma. And Vihara means someone's dwelling, or it could be your home, or it could be like a meditation Vihara, but it's a dwelling. And so the heavenly abodes, where the highest valued things are held, is what Brahma Vihara means. So the abiding place of the supreme qualities. And that's what these four qualities are considered. And the four qualities are metta, which is loving kindness, karuna, which is compassion. The third one is mudita, which is either translated appreciative joy or sympathetic joy. It's joy for others. And equanimity is the last one, and that's upekkha. So these are all actually faces, or I call them facets, of love. And that's why they're so important, because that's a quality, as we all know, is not abundant in our world today. And we're going back to a time when maybe we've never gotten away from it, where killing each other seems to be a way to win an argument. So what we're all used to, and we know, and in our practice, we always practice loving kindness. And the good thing about that for us Theravadins is that that's the same. If you meditate with these qualities, you can use that same outline. You practice with compassion and appreciative joy and equanimity the same way. You first recognize the quality within yourself and your desire to develop it and have it come alive in your life, and then you can begin to send that out, that quality, the wish for that quality to go out to those closest to you, and then as it gets stronger, it can go out further to just other people, to strangers, to creatures, and then it can eventually go to the difficult people, and then we can allow it to go out way beyond even what we know exists in terms of life. So you can use that same way we do loving kindness, or shortened form, as a way to meditate with the Brahma Viharas. And you hear there are a lot of references to meditating with them. The Refuge Recovery book has really good meditations for the four Brahma Viharas. And I think those were some of the best that I've read and worked with. So those are the qualities. So at our workshop, it started out being called a retreat, and we changed it to a retreat/workshop. Because people actually had to do some writing, and that was really good. We had questions to ask about really about your relationship with each one of those qualities. I had written down the questions, but I don't have those with me right now. But Aaron had put together four questions for each of the Brahma Viharas, and then people had time to write in a little journal that we gave them, just what their kind of had to be like first thoughts off the top of their head, but everyone really got into the writing. And then later they were able to talk about that in some small groups. And so people could begin to start looking at these qualities and see which ones they were drawn to and see which ones might be, I don't know about that one. I don't know if that's, maybe I don't understand it enough, or maybe it's something that I haven't thought about that much. And so people could begin to investigate those qualities and how they related to them. The part, of course, that was difficult for a lot of people was thinking about sending loving kindness to enemies. And there's a lot of concern about that. I know for most people, especially my Buddhist friends, when we've talked about the world lately or the elections, there's a lot of what I notice almost everybody saying is, I've had to take a break from the news. I cannot listen to it right now. It's like a temporary need to back away from it, which I think is really good. That was the best choice most of us could have made, probably. Whether we're talking to people that disagree with our point of view or even people who feel exactly the way we do, there's too much emotion in it, too much rawness from either side. And so it was a good decision to back away, but we can't stay backed away from the world. We can try, but it's really hard to do. I made that same resolution, but when I get in my car, I have it on public radio, so it's like I would be hearing things and think, I'm gonna go see somebody who's not gonna even know this happened today. I'm gonna want to talk about it, but I'm not gonna do it. So it was really hard. It was trying to get a little bit of the news and having a reaction to it. So we probably have all had that period of time for whatever reasons, and we're gonna talk politics. But of course, at some point in our workshop, that came up. And I want to talk about that in a few minutes, but first, some things that came up for me in looking at this workshop, that there is a translation for loving kindness that is cultivating non-hatred. So it's not, and I think it's a valid translation. Because a lot of times people will say, I can't send loving kindness to my enemies. And when you teach people to do this meditation, you always say, don't start with your greatest enemies. It's too hard, whoever that may be. And I think if we think of loving kindness not only being friendliness and kindness, but developing non-hatred, so going from hatred to some neutral place, can be the beginning of goodwill. So no matter how upset you are with someone or some ideas in the world or some country in the world, you can develop that quality of like making it more neutral. So don't hate. The hatred is what leads to all the other problems in the world. And I have something from the Dhammapada on for that. But you can develop non-hatred, like let go of going anywhere, staying more in equanimity. But it's equanimity is not non-hatred. Metta can be non-hatred, but it's just developing a more neutral stance where you let go of the quality of that hatred that can create so much of the suffering in the world, and work with that. So there are no excuses to develop, to not develop because you're, you know, have too many strong reactions. And then when we talk about compassion, we're talking about seeing the suffering in the world and knowing when there is a time for you to act and there's something you can do, no matter how small a step it may be, and knowing that there are other times when there's nothing you can do. And then you have to hold that compassion in your heart. You have to be a witness. You may have to be a witness, but you may know when there's not something that you can actually do to change the situation. And I have something that I want to share with you because it'll be, I'll do it when I get to equanimity. But then the third is sympathetic joy or appreciative joy, mudita. And that's when you can just really appreciate the success, the happiness, the joy that you see someone else experience. And an example, an easy example is when you watch, just like when you watch somebody playing with their dog or a bunch of puppies playing or cats, and that's why, like, YouTube is full of all these kind of things. People have made fortunes from their animals. You can feel it can make you feel happy for even if it's just a few seconds. It can make you feel joy. Well, that's one example of appreciative joy. You know, you're just really, you're not saying, oh, those people don't deserve that dog that's making them money, or they don't even deserve, they're not maybe treating that dog well, they don't deserve to have it in their house and play with it and have fun. You just can see it and see the joy sometimes between the owner and the animal, or just with the animals and what they're doing. So mudita can be it's a hard one, because it's very easy to be envious. It's very easy to think, why did that person get the raise and not me? I think I deserved it more, or I needed it more. And so it's working at trying to let go of those reactions, but just being able sooner rather than later to think, wow, that's good, really good for them, and I can enjoy it by seeing their joy in it. And it can be other things, like if somebody praises Thanksgiving, if you have people bringing different meals to a gathering, maybe somebody praises one person's dish, and you're taking yours back home at the end of the. We've all had it happen to us, right? So remember at that moment, appreciative joy. And hope someone else remembers sympathetic joy. And that too will happen to all of us. So then equanimity is the one that always is the hardest. I picked it to be my topic because I'm always trying to figure out what equanimity is and how to do it, mostly how to do it, how to be it. And a lot of times people will think equanimity means indifference, which it doesn't at all. And it means to have a deeper understanding of a situation and calm, be able to have a calm response to things. But it means also the one quality of equanimity is when we see a situation where there's not anything we really have any control over, or anything that we can do to help the situation, and we see that, then we can reach that stage of equanimity. And that aspect of it is when we can let our ego back away and move back out of the situation. And instead of thinking something can be fixed or remedied or we know the answer to something, we are letting go of our ego. And we let wisdom and that deeper wisdom and understanding come into play. And so we may look like we're indifferent, but we're not. And that I have a beautiful quote from Thich Nhat Hanh that I had just gotten right after the elections. I get it in the mail, in the email. It's a quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. When I was a novice monk, I could not understand why, if the world is filled with suffering, the Buddha had such a beautiful smile. His smile is subtle, but it's very beautiful. And if you look at the Buddha outside, it's from Vietnam, and it has more of a smile. You know, it's more, the smile shows a little bit more. Why isn't he disturbed by all the suffering? Later, I discovered that the Buddha has enough understanding, enough calm, and enough strength that the suffering does not overwhelm him. He is able to smile to suffering because he knows how to take care of it and to help transform it. We need to be aware of the suffering, but retain our clarity, calmness, and strength so we can help transform the situation. The ocean of tears cannot drown us if karuna, compassion, is there. That is why the Buddha smile is possible. So that quote is using the quality of equanimity, that ability to understand the situation, but not have the ability to act on it, but to know, like the Buddha knew with suffering, he discovered the way to transform our suffering. So it wraps equanimity as a Brahmavihara back into the second one, compassion or karuna, because that equanimity can then add other levels to working with the other three qualities. So equanimity is like a selfless kind of love. And it's seeing things from a very, very clear point. So it is what can allow us to see things that we know we can't do anything about, but we can be ready to be of help when there's something that can be done, because of that clarity and that deeper understanding and that calm. Like when a situation goes from something you can't do anything about to the point where there might be something you can do, you'll know that because of the equanimity you've developed. So the equanimity gives us that calmness along with the wisdom, the deeper understanding, to know when it's time to use one of these other faces of love. So I love that because it made things very easy for me to understand. I want to finish with one thing. As the group went on last Sunday, of course the question came up about how do we deal with our feelings of not love right now after the elections. That quality that we, that whole thing that we didn't want to talk about, and nobody wanted to talk about it, but it came up because we're dealing with a topic that's actually supposed to deal with it. So we managed to stop talking about it as a big group when we just all together came to the realization that right now what we've got to do, it's not a time to be talking and debating and arguing with someone, but it's a time that if we're doing anything at all, it's listening. and learning how to listen. We don't know how, really. And if you think about the kind of conversations that I'm thinking about, we there's not much listening going on. And it's either very evangelical, trying to convert somebody else, or it's just trying to not listen to things that we don't like. So when we do our chanting, we do what we call the twin verses at the beginning. Well, the twin verses continue on after the one that we chant. And this is on, I've got something to show you, read to you, just very short. So this is from the twin verse. He abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. Those who dwell on such thoughts will never become free from hatred. He abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. Those who do not dwell on such thoughts will truly become free from hatred. So this is where the verse comes from, which we all really know and have talked about. Returning hatred with hatred will never bring hatred to an end in this world. Only by replacing hatred with love will hatred come to an end. This is an ancient and eternal law. So, non-hatred is what we're going for. So, I'm almost finished. So, and the way we have to work with our listening and with our talk, our speech, is first of all listening. Try to listen more than you talk, and try to really listen without forming opinions about what someone's saying until you've heard them and had a chance to think about them. This is called Five Factors for Well-Spoken Speech. Monks, a statement endowed with five factors is well-spoken, not ill-spoken. Which five? It is spoken at the right time. It is spoken in truth. It is spoken affectionately. It is spoken beneficially. And it is spoken with a mind of goodwill. So just remember, right time, the truth, affectionately. So affectionately means without anger. That's, and beneficially, that it can be helpful. And a mind of goodwill, which is that mind of metta. So as we go out into the world and have to start talking and listening and turning the radio on or the however you get your news, think about what you've chosen by studying the teachings of the Buddha. And meditation is something that you spend valuable time doing. You've chosen a path that's committed to love, and these four supreme qualities of love, that's what we have to be working on all the time. And we all know some of the things we need to do, but begin by listening, and listening to your own heart as well. So thank you.
So as many of you know, we like periodically to invite nonprofits and people from the community who do good things to come talk to us a little bit and give you guys an opportunity to And so today we have people from the Environmental Defenders of McHenry County. You guys want to come on up? And they are going to talk a little bit about their mission and what they do. We've been helping host their compost bin at the temple for the summer, which has been lovely. And then they have a table set up with some information. So after Joe does the announcements, then you guys can also come talk to them and see how you might serve or volunteer for them or help out in ways that you can support them.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for coming today.
Oh, we really appreciate the invitation. My name is Cecilia Carmen. This is Michelle Murin. We're the co-chairs for the Waste Reduction Team for the Environmental Defenders. And many of you know the Environmental Defenders have been around McHenry County for over 50 years. Anything that goes around with the environment, we get involved with. Recycling, you see those recycling events through the county in different towns. Well, that's just not the county, but it's Environmental Defenders doing a lot of the volunteering. We have the styrofoam. For transportation, if you see a lot of the electric cars outlets, a lot of those were done by the Defenders getting grants for the cities of Woodstock and Crystal Lake to get those put in. Our water resource team has done stuff where if you see those signs, it says about the waterways with the little raccoons and foxes on them. Those were a partnership with the Defenders and the county to get people be aware of their watersheds. And we've done restoration of land, and our team has done a whole sustainable summit with the county where we had the schools, the townships, and restaurants come together to talk about how to be more sustainable. Our water team has done with best business practices. So whatever part of the environment you care about, the Environmental Defenders are working on that, and we'd love for you guys to get more involved. And now Michelle's going to talk a little bit more exactly what our team is doing.
Thanks, Cecilia, although I feel like you did a really good job. Like, I don't think I need to say anything more. Just specifically with our team, I mean, we've been doing this since like 2017, and so we've kind of tackled a bunch of different things. Definitely, I think the summit was like the biggest thing that we did in the county. We really engaged a lot of different stakeholders and got a lot of good feedback from everybody. And I think we've just done a lot of educational work. I think sustainability is one of those topics where everybody is kind of now familiar with it, but they don't really all know, you know, what it entails, and there's a lot of greenwashing and things that goes on. So for our team, we really focus on, you know, like waste reduction at the source and then also just diverting it from landfills, because you obviously can't get rid of all of it. And the compost in the back is one of those big things that we've really focused on. We really started out, you know, looking at single-use plastics, but with COVID and everything, we just kind of had to pivot and, you know, evolve. And I think our team really found a passion for reducing food waste and educating people, and that's one of our latest endeavors, is trying to establish drop-off locations or just resources in general for people to divert their food waste. I know you know some statistics on how much goes into landfills, but it's a lot, and it can easily be diverted. We're trying to do this program where you guys can sign up through the hauler, which is Waste Not. It's a $3 fee, and you can drop off your scraps at any point in time. There's a code that you'll get to unlock the bin, but it's just another way in case you don't have, you know, curbside pickup or a backyard that you can do composting, or you're like me and you suck at composting, then that way you can still participate. I don't know if there's anything else I missed about that you want to add.
We're just really trying to get the word out, because we know with the new contract with Woodstock's MDC, they're not allowing any food waste in the yard waste. So it's only yard waste, where most of the other haulers in this area will allow you to put food waste with your yard waste. So to help with that, we did the drop-off. First, we did it at the farmer's market, where anyone can just drop off your food waste during the Woodstock farmer's market. We had a great success. We diverted over 1,000 pounds of food waste from our landfills now going to compost. And so we wanted to continue that, since there is such a need here. So if you want to sign up, all you do is you can come here. They're right outside here, the Buddhist temple, our bins, and you can just drop off your food waste. It hasn't officially started yet, but I know they're still sitting there, so you can drop them off. And then, so we're just hoping if you guys can help us get the word out about this being a great place to compost your food waste. And we're hoping not just to have this location, but even try to get more locations here in Woodstock. So, yeah, and we have our information over there. And then our website is MCDEF, or McHenryDefenders, .org. So thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you.